You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN. ESPN.com Giants reporter, and we're here with the Christmas Day game episode. That's right. The Giants play on Christmas Day, but not because it's like a normal Sunday. It's actually Monday, because they're turning Christmas Day into a mini Thanksgiving. I'll explain that in a few minutes. Later on in the show, we'll talk to Darren Revelle about the new Tommy DeVito drama, pizzeria drama, that unfolded this week. And I think if you haven't heard about it yet, you'll be blown away. But about how much 2 hours worth of Tommy DeVito's time is worth. But first, let's talk for a minute, really don't need much more, about what happened in New Orleans. The Giants, they got smacked in New Orleans 24-6, played a terrible game. They were on a short week off Monday night against the Packers. They just got whooped all over the field. The defense was okay, lit up less than 300 yards, but Derek Carr made some big play pass plays. So it was 7-6 at halftime, but ended up being 24-6. They kind of wore down in the second half. Offense was terrible, didn't do anything. Offensive line struggled. DeVito did nothing. And so here we are. Even if you are the biggest Giant fan, the biggest homer that we could find, I don't know if there's a scenario that we could put together, that you could put together, because I can't put it together, of the Giants are going to make the playoffs at this point. ESPN Analytics has it at 0.1%. That's as close as you can get, by the way, basically to zero, without it being zero. So they're 5-9. Any dream of some ridiculous run is over. You know, the fleeting moment that it lasted, some of you maybe like a week or two, say, hey, you know what, we're only one game behind the final playoff spot. The problem was there was too many teams between you, and the Giants aren't a good team. And we saw it again on Sunday in New Orleans. Okay? So now we know this team going nowhere. Where do they move forward? All that I see left for the final three games, they play at Philly on Christmas, home against the Rams, a New Year's Eve day, and home against the Eagles again. So the Eagles, two out of three times, by the way, the Eagles desperately need these games. Coming in off a three-game losing streak, playing for essentially the top seed in the NFC, and at the very least, the NFC East title. So they have a ton to play for. Giants, huge underdogs. Last I looked, it was 12 points. Probably not even high enough. Okay, Dexter Lawrence, he's not even completely healthy. Giants are not in great shape going into this game against the Eagles. But what we do have is further evaluation of Tommy DeVito. He has an opportunity on a national stage again against the Eagles, and a team that has owned the Giants. As Saquon Barkley said, it's not even just from when him and Sterling Shepard are here. You're talking about over the past decade. 3-16. Giants are 3-16 against the Eagles in their last 19 meetings. So they never beat Philadelphia. If Tommy DeVito could pull it off or play really, really well in front of a national audience again, it'll do a lot for his stature and for what opportunity he's afforded next year. Now, most of you don't give a darn based on my Twitter. All you want is draft pick, draft pick, draft pick. And I understand that. Ultimately, I think that's where the Giants need to find their future quarterback, because I've said it before, investing in Daniel Jones and, you know, putting your franchise in his hands at this point is just too risky for any general manager or front office to do. Two neck injuries and now a torn ACL. How can you invest in that and say, oh, okay, we're building this team around that guy? That's our quarterback. That's our building block. Way too risky. So I don't see that happen. I still think a quarterback is well within the realm of possibilities in the draft. Now, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. What I find interesting, though, is this week is a Christmas Day game. And so the NFL has a schedule. It's a Monday. It's a little different. Maybe you probably can't do this on Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe Tuesday, but definitely not Wednesday, right? you have three games, essentially the 12 o'clock window, the 4:30 window, and the night window. Night game is amazing. San Francisco, Baltimore might be the best game of the year. Two Super Bowl favorites right now. 4 o'clock game, 4:30 game, actually. Giants at Philadelphia. Should be a crazy atmosphere. Christmas in Philadelphia. I know they lost three in a row, but should be a great atmosphere. And then the early window. That's like the Lion game on Thanksgiving. So that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of Thanksgiving. And granted, I'm Jewish, so it's a little different perspective for me. But I like the idea, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, of especially the 4:30 game. You could do your Christmas in the morning. You open the presents with the kids. You have an early dinner. And then you sit there and you watch football, kind of like you do on Thanksgiving. You have family there. It's a family day. And you just have Thanksgiving on in the background. I mean, you have the game on in the background, like you do on Thanksgiving. And it does a massive rating. I kind of expect that here. I like the idea of the 4:30 Christmas Day game. I think this is something the NFL should consider doing more of. Now, maybe it should be a double window, not a triple window game. Whereas you get a 4:30 and a night game. I don't know about the early game. I think the early game, you're pushing it with people. They want to spend the morning doing, you know, the gifts with the kids, the tree, the family. People go to church. So to do it in the 12 o'clock window, 12:30 window, 1 o'clock even, that's a little early. But I like the afternoon game. And that's where the Giants are at. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere in Philadelphia. I mean, it always is pretty good in Philadelphia. They're ruthless. I know you, as Giant fans, mostly hate Eagles and Eagles fans. But it'll be a fun, lubed-up crowd there in Philadelphia. At which, you know, Tommy DeVito says he likes that hostile environment. He embraces it. You know, they're going to tell him Merry Christmas in a lot of different ways. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to say it right back to him. Tell them Merry Christmas. Saquon talked about how it's going to be a great atmosphere like it always is in Philadelphia. So I'm in for the Christmas Day game. And now I admit, I'm Jewish. It's a little different for me. So my perspective may be skewed. But I do think most people are going to like the afternoon or in the evening games, especially since they're pretty meaningful games. I mean, very meaningful games. Baltimore, San Francisco at night, both teams vying for the number one seeds in their conference. The Eagles vying for the number one seed in the NFC and the NFC East division crown in the 4:30 window. Too bad the Giants didn't oblige and make this a meaningful game for them. If they had won in New Orleans, this game would be, from a Giants perspective, have some hype too. And it'd be a really great spot for the NFL. Now, the Giants fans are subjected to rooting for draft positioning, which seems to be the main priority for most people. And for the organization, it's another look, hey, what do we have here with Tommy DeVito? Another opportunity for the undrafted rookie to play well in a big spot against a team the Giants haven't been able to get over the hump against. Think about what it would mean to Tommy DeVito's resume if he played really well in this environment, in this atmosphere. And if he doesn't, I think you kind of know what you got, at least for next year. You have a guy that you feel confident in, you could put in for a couple games to get by with. He can compete for the backup spot. You don't have to worry about anyone pressuring you. You know, oh, he should be given an opportunity to be the starter. He played well enough, yada, yada, yada. So this is the line of demarcation, in my opinion. Now, as far as the DeVito craze, let's get into that a little bit more. On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's bring in Darren Rovell, friend of mine, also a legendary sports business reporter. We did some stuff together back in the day when you were at ESPN. I was trying to think. We did the Giants Eli memorabilia stuff.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
The Skiba brothers. Was there something else? I feel like there was something else.
There's got to be something else, but that was the last thing I remember.
Yeah, well, welcome. I appreciate your time. You've been all over the Tommy DeVito stuff the last few days, specifically the pizzeria in Morristown, Coniglio's, and the little drama that went back and forth there. So let's start with that. We'll get to the Tommy DeVito big picture stuff in a second. Explain to me and everybody out there kind of what happened with the Coniglio's and how you got involved and got a whiff of that and how it sort of played out.
Right. Well, obviously, like the rise of Tommy DeVito, it started slow. And then, you know, obviously the Packers Monday night football game where the Packers, it seems like they were in on the act of rising Tommy DeVito. I mean, that was a crazy game. Just a sidebar. I was part of a team of there's 22 people left in a survivor pool. And that week I chose.
So you're bitter. That's what this is about.
No. And that week I chose the Patriots. And my partner said, you got to be kidding me. The Patriots win. And then we are both at the Packers Giants game. And yeah, I'm not here to talk about football. I'm here to talk about business. But, you know, Tommy DeVito had like 9 seconds in the pocket on every throw, including the prevent defense at the end where all they needed was a field goal. Anyway,
you sound like a true bitter better right there. Yeah, that is true bitter betting talk. Right
but now. Tommy DeVito, you know, you have the tailgate with the 300 cutlets and then he comes through and he's a hero and, you know, Monday Night Football and, you know, he had like 5 or 6 appearances that were set up, a card shop, a burrito place, and then this pizza place in Morristown. The card shop number kind of moved a little bit. But then there was this, you know, Coniglio's, a relatively new pizza place.
It's a really new spot. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. They said they were around since 2020. When you say since, you don't say since 2022. So they had, let's just say, agreed in principle to a deal that Tommy DeVito would be there for 2 hours. He'd sign autographs and it would be $10,000. And then his agent, Sean Stellato, communicated that number was going to change after the Monday Night Football game to $20,000. And Nino Coniglio, the owner, you know, went nuts and decided to go postal on Instagram. I saw that. I called him and found out this whole kind of back and forth. And Stellato then said that there wasn't a contract. Okay. Now that could be debatable legally, because it seems like the terms were pretty much agreed on, if it ever got to that. But Nino Coniglio said, fine, I'm not paying the $20,000. I'm not even paying the $10,000. Forget about it. So there was just so much noise. Tuesday
is when he went there, yeah.
Yeah, on Tuesday, like an hour before, I heard that Stellato was no longer going to be dealing with the marketing. I mean, listen, good thing that they got this kid. You know, I don't think any of that was Tommy DeVito. I think it was Stellato being like, let's get what we can get when we can get it. And it backfired. And so I got a call saying that he was no longer going to be handling marketing. And Max Lepsalter, who's the son of Mark Lepsalter, who for a long time did Tiki's marketing, and he's been in the game for a long time, that he was taking over.
Represented me once in a book I did with Joe Beninga.
Ah, that's amazing.
Long story short. Also, by the way, LT's agent.
Oh, LT's agent, too. Yeah, so he's done a lot of Giants stuff. And And I just got it communicated that Tommy was going to show up at Coniglio's like 45 minutes before. I hightailed it and I made it. And it really wasn't like the post was following around for the day, but that, you know, so they were there and then I showed up. But it wasn't like a media opportunity. It was just like, you know, if you want to catch something, you can. But it really was, you know, they sat down, they talked, they, you know, made sodas. And I think for the most part, I think the public didn't think that Tommy DeVito was the one behind the price increase.
He did say yesterday, so we're taping this on Thursday, that, look, he's not involved in anything. His team's job is to take care of it, bring it to him. He signs it when he's done and goes, right? He has to concentrate on football at this point.
Yes.
And which is a believable thing.
You know, very believable.
You can't be involved in all this stuff during the season, especially. Yeah, no. You really can't.
So, and then Thursday morning, we find out that he has trademarked through his LLC, or his people have, Tommy Cutlets and the Passing Paisano. And for Tommy Cutlets, the intent to put it on, you know, branded chicken and pasta sauces and pasta and whatever. Yeah. So
what does it say? The horse getting ahead of the cart? Or the cart
You need to get the horse ahead of the cart, like, because the cart ahead of the horse is the cart ahead of the horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if someone else filed for Tommy Cutlets, if let's say I file for it on Monday and then he files it on Thursday, he has to wait in line behind me.
Yeah,
as far as the trademark examiner goes.
Remember it was we went through this with Danny Dimes.
Yes. There was someone else who yep. did it for him.
Yep.
So
all right, go ahead.
No, so I think we're at the point where, you know, he's cleaned himself off. I think Sean Stellato is probably never relevant again. That he butchered his one chance. And we move on, and now we turn to the field of play again, to see if he could continue going on. Obviously the game against the Saints wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah.
So the question now becomes, you know, what becomes of him? And if it's not, the issue is, and this is a really interesting one, okay? If he's not, let's say he does get a third QB job, but it's not in New York, that diminishes his value.
Yeah. He's signed, though. He's signed through next year.
Okay. Okay.
He's going to be here at least another year.
Okay.
So I would assume more. There's other ways that you end up, you know, basically they could kind of have like a cheap option on him in the third year as well, I believe.
Okay, that's important. Yeah. That will be important for him.
And he's not going to want to leave, right? Because like you said,
right,
there's value to him being here.
Yes. Yes.
So here, first of all, a couple questions. Number one, do you get the vibe that Sean Stellato was kind of acting out of pocket? Because here's what I know. And if you look closely and you look at the Green Bay game, Max Lepsalter sitting there with the family and Sean as well. So this was kind of in the works already before. Was Stellato
Max
still negotiating
was,
kind of deal?
Yeah, I think the formal switch, yes, I think Max got into the picture, yes, and he was doing some marketing stuff, but Sean was doing some marketing stuff. And I think this incident made it cut and dry.
So is that normal for the, let's say you hire a marketing team, but the agent to still try and be involved and bring in offers? Hey, look, I got this. Maybe you should consider this.
Appearances are a gray area, usually, right? Because if someone calls the agent, agents can do appearances, and they do sometimes. So I think it's because it was generally a gray area, but I think because of how it went down, there was a necessary cutoff.
Okay. And what about the 10 to 10 and 20 grand numbers? Do they raise an eyebrow for you? Are those big? Are those small? Like, give us an idea of what an appearance for something like this usually goes for.
So a lot of people go, oh, you could get a Hall of Fame baseball player for 20,000 for 2 hours or whatever, which is true. You could get like a guy who was inducted in the 80s, you know, for $75 an autograph. And but the rates often have to do with how busy the guy is. And it's and how busy in the moment it is. So people usually, and I've been guilty of doing this, although I, you know, obviously I put in a tweet like this guy's charging, you know, so $75 for Tommy DeVito for a photo.
$25 for a VIP package, I believe it was.
Right. Which Tommy included autograph and a photo. So $225, I mean, again, you could get a pretty solid Hall of Famer for that. In both football and baseball. And, you know, but it's all about his time. And that's why to raise it from 10 to 20, I think maybe the market could have held it in that moment. If, let's say, he beat the hell out of the Saints,
mm-hmm.
I actually think there would be less objecting. But
right.
But because... Or if the appearance is right after the Packers thing. But it's not something you do in general. I mean, it lacks tact.
Right.
Have a
bad
deal
business.
Correct. And if you think long term, I mean, that's just a quick play. If you're thinking long term, you of course don't do that. Because is $10,000 really worth burning? No. It's not that's not worth anything to him. So
especially if it's going to stain your name.
I think Stellato's the one who is out in terms of like it stained his name, and you know, and he already, you know, this was his kind of maybe one chance if anyone else would have given him a chance, and I think he lost it.
Right. So I'll tell you the original thing. So, you know, Tommy DeVito's having some fleeting success, you know, the first couple weeks. He has this appearance at a Primo's hoagie shop in North Jersey.
Yep.
And I'm going there, and I'm thinking to myself, it's at a strip mall, sandwich shop. Be like maybe 50, 100 people there. And I have to tell you, I was blown away by what happened there that day.
Were you 300 around the block?
Around the block. I mean, literally, they had to have him stop taking pictures. Because they were trying to make sure that he at least got to see every single person, right? He would give everybody an autograph, but he had to stop because everybody was taking a picture, doing the, you know, pinch finger celebration, making him say Tommy Cutlets, you know, doing videos.
And this was before the Packers game.
Before the Packers game, 2 weeks before, because they were going into their bye week, yes. And so I was kind of really shocked by the phenomenon that kind of was going on, and you realize there's the Italian angle, the Jersey angle. Like, you know, you live in New Jersey, and I've said this 100 times. I know, and I grew up, and I'm born and raised in Jersey. I grew up, I know 1,000 Tommy DeVitos, right? That's why he relates to everybody here, right? I mean, I live down in Monmouth County by the Jersey Shore. Trust me, I know a gazillion Tommy DeVitos, all right? Were you surprised by the reaction that he got, even before it kind of blew up on national TV of that Monday night game, but locally it had gained as much traction as it had?
Yeah. I mean, I was not surprised. I mean, just because, I don't know, I feel like New York needed some underdog. I really was not being hyperbolic when I said, you know, we haven't seen this type of underdog in New York since Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
Having been at, wow, I mean, like, maybe I'm the only one. I was at the Lin game where before, you know, Kobe Bryant said Jeremy Lin who, and then he scored 39. I was at that game, and then I was at the Tommy DeVito Packers game. So, like, maybe I've seen the height of both of these
full
guys.
Circle.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a feel good story. I think it's a funny story. You know, he played the character as much as people hated him. You know, Sean Stellato played the character. I mean, it was.
Oh, his family too. Literally, man. Come on, Tommy's family.
Yeah, Tommy's family.
On board with it as well. Yeah,
of course. I mean, literally, I looked for the tailgate. It was cold that night. I looked for the tailgate for a long time. I wanted to get a cutlet from them.
You should have called and texted. I mean, I would have told you right where it was.
I know. I was just walking around.
There was a big Italian flag. That was the landmark.
I do want to get as a memorabilia guy, I do want to get a chicken cutlet where he signs the bread and then go to Home Depot and like varnish it or bring it to
say, how's it going to last?
Oh, you bring it to like a taxidermy person or something and just have it coated in shellac. then I could have a cutlet sitting on my desk.
It would be different. I will tell you that. That would be very different.
Yes.
So you brought it up. How does this compare to Linsanity in your opinion?
So Linsanity just you just get this feeling that Linsanity it lasted longer and had a bigger economic impact. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was the whole situation where the fight between MSG and some of the cable carriers at that time, and the fact that Jeremy Lin was doing so well, you know, these guys buckled in their negotiations. He was on two straight Sports Illustrated covers. That was like wild. I can't believe it. And I think a lot of it is because basketball is so much more an individual game. Like, I think the fact that people who know football watch the Packers and watch Tommy DeVito. And again, like in that game, there was no pressure on the offensive line, or the offensive line did a great job. I mean, he had all the time he wanted in the pocket, right? Mm-hmm. He had some great scrambles. And he did his job, but with Lynn, it was like a little bit more flash because it's like, you know, again, he played the part of the underdog because not only is this Asian basketball player, but he went to Harvard and like literally, you know, schooling people. Tommy DeVito didn't look like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I think people knew kind of that this Tommy DeVito story was going to end, you know, soon.
Yeah. In the big games, Jeremy Lin did look like Kobe. I mean, he was doing crazy stuff. And so I think that's kind of the difference, you know. And but similar in the, you know, such like the Vince Papale story, or, you know, an underdog story when you see it, seems like a movie, seems like a Rudy, you know, they'll option the film, you know, right away. Of course, you know. The climax cannot be the Packer game.
Yeah,
in order for
this to happen. So where do you see it going then? Where do you see this story going? Like, what's his marketability going forward? Let's say he's just a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, let's say he beyond this season, right? Like, he never steps on the field. I still think he has like a niche area where he could do things. I think in New Jersey he can do things. You know, guys who have fleeting fame often in college become really successful, like real estate agents and, you know, places. He'll be remembered for the moment, and he'll certainly be remembered in New Jersey. So stick as long as you can on the Giants and stay as long as you can in the state of New Jersey, and there'll be life. This will have life for his life. He's forever a legend. But, you know, as far as nationally real marketability, I can't see much of a scenario unless somehow he figures out how to beat the Eagles that this is going to be like a beautiful story with a bow for everyone nationwide.
But if he plays either really spectacularly or beats the Eagles, something the Giants, by the way, haven't done in decades, right? I mean, they're like 3-16 against the Eagles.
Right.
If he does that in front of a national audience on Christmas, it's going to be good
for the
brand.
Huge. Yeah.
So I'll end with this because you kind of brought it up about the New Jersey and the market. And I'm curious, this is more big picture. But the Giants, if they sell it with players, and they tried to sell it with Saquon. that there's still a big benefit to being in New York. Now, we know that the NFL is so big, it's a monster. That Patrick Mahomes is in Kansas City. He's a monster, right? How much do you think that still exists? Or how much of a benefit actually is there of being in New York?
Definitely has lessened. I think you could be a star pretty much anywhere. I think the markets that are still tough are still tough, right? Like Phoenix, Seattle, Jacksonville, Tampa. Like those, like, I don't want to call them, you know, like one horse towns, but like, you know, they're growing. Those smaller teams do actually make it harder. You know, Kansas City has always had tradition. The market size really doesn't matter that much. But I do think that there's a slight advantage. It has lessened every single year as this world gets closer. I mean, you just have to look at Halloween costumes from our kids. There are more Steph Currys and Patrick Mahomes, and in New Jersey, there were five kids who were like the Dolphins wide receivers. If that doesn't tell you that we're smaller and, you know, things, I mean, when we were kids, you could only even get a Jets or Giants jersey. So you could only watch the games
in your local area. So it was very provincial. Now you can watch any game you want. There's fantasy. So, you know, my daughter likes the Kansas City Chiefs. I live in New Jersey. That would have never happened when we were kids growing up. Because she would have never seen the Kansas City Chiefs unless it was the playoffs or Super Bowl.
I do think, you know, for a while, there was a lot of stars in New York, right? Like Saquon qualified and Aaron Judge and I'm just trying to think of like, well, no one's really emerged on the Knicks side.
They had Carmelo.
Hockey's hockey. No, but I'm talking about at the same time. At the same time, there was because sometimes you could say, well, how much space is there in the market? But like,
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's definitely not the same.
Well, that's why Tommy DeVito has been able to step in and capitalize on it. Darren, I appreciate it. Good luck. You're looking into your next opportunity. And I'll be watching closely because I want to see what it is. I'm always interested. And you know what? I actually had a conversation recently. You should hook up and do some stuff with Justin Pugh. He's really big on the sports business side. That's like the niche that he wants to get into. You should link up with him at some point. Yep, he's a good guy.
Amazing.
And he's really into the business side of sports. So right up your alley.
Nothing like it. Been doing it for 23 years. Have so much fun.
And doing a great job at it as well. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks there to Darren Rovell. I always enjoy his perspective because it's so different, right? And because most people really don't understand the intricacies of the business side, right? It's sort of something that's, you know, a dark secret. Like people keep all the details sort of hidden on how these things work behind the scenes from the business side. But I know a lot of people don't like him and they don't like his social presence and they like to, you know, make fun of him and rip him apart. But I do think it's a unique perspective, and it's something that's different. And I do, and I like that about him. And we worked together at ESPN, and we worked actually pretty well together. He was a good person to work with. Now, here's the portion of the episode, Jordan on the Beat, where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. And what I'm going to tell you here is about the working environment in New Orleans, okay? You'd say New Orleans, it's pretty warm there. Louisiana, you know, the bayou was 65 degrees, 60 degrees outside. Well, let me tell you, the Superdome is a unique place to work. And I'm not complaining as if it's a terrible thing, but man, it's unique. You are at the top of the dome, kind of like Detroit. A lot of these domes are like that. The media are at the top. It's an open-air press box, meaning there's no enclosed windows and glass, right? You don't need to worry about the weather. So we can experience the atmosphere in the stadium as well. But you are at the tippy top. I mean, there's no seats above you at the top of the stadium. And because you're at the top of the stadium, holy cow, it's freezing in there, right? Like, I'm sitting there, literally, I brought a hat and gloves. Mind you, 60-plus degrees outside in New Orleans. But yet, the top of the Superdome is like a damn icebox. I got my black leather gloves on, looking like a psychopathic serial killer up there, typing, trying to text and tweet in a dome, no less. It's so cold up there because you have to understand. So you have to air condition the entire dome. So the air is blowing from the top. You're getting the first drift of the air. I had somebody tell me in the stadium, it was hot as heck. It was hot as hell. What you expect, humid and disgusting from New Orleans weather-wise. But at the top, it's to the point where I was sitting next to Dan Duggan up there. We had papers, right? They hand out papers like, you know, rosters and quarter-by-quarter stats. It's so drifty up there that the papers are blowing from the wind, from the air conditioning. So these are the environments. These are the elements that you have to work through as a tough, big, bad media member in New Orleans. I say this, by the way, all completely tongue-in-cheek. It is not that hard. You put on your jacket. And by the way, at least I was prepared. I was, you know, my cohorts in New Orleans always tell me, hey, don't forget, press box freezing. This is like a known thing. Bring your hat and gloves. You know, bring your jacket. Make sure you dress warm. It kind of reminds me, my first trip, I went to San Diego. So you're like, oh, San Diego. It's beautiful in San Diego. 80 degrees every day. And it usually is, but we went there and it actually rained and it was chilly. And it was like an old press box, which was all like basically cinder block, almost like a minor league baseball stadium. And it was like 55, 60 degrees. And that's right, in San Diego. And I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. And I was freezing in San Diego. Second coldest I've ever been, New Orleans. Put it up there, right behind San Diego. Which sounds crazy, right? It just goes to show you. You always got to come prepared. Bring a jacket, bring a sweatshirt, whatever. You never know. I mean, I'm wearing a suit anyway. But even a suit, shirt, tie, and suit was not enough. Still needed the hat, gloves, and jacket at times. That's how cold it was in New Orleans. All right, that's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends. Thanks again for Darren Revelle coming on and discussing the Tommy DeVito drama. You're listening to Breaking Big Blue. I'm Jordan Ronan. See you next time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.